chapter from She Believes. I'm going to give you a little recap really quick because I know you've all read this, She Believes, you know, five times through. And it's just been a minute since you read it last. But this particular chapter is called You Are Loved. And it is one of these chapters, girls, that I would recommend that when you're giving this book away, and you should give this book to every girl in your life, that this is one of those chapters that you earmark. This is one of those chapters that that girl in your life that is struggling, that is going through a hard season, that you put a little bookmark in this chapter and you say, you know what, you just skip to this chapter first. You read this chapter first and then go back to the beginning because it is that powerful. It is that true. It is that life-changing when we realize and we accept the love of the Father, and when we accept it and we realize it, what it does in us. I'm telling you what, this is some good, good stuff. So when you give this book away, make sure you earmark this chapter. So we are going to be studying and looking at chapter 4, and it's talking about You Are Loved. But I've been talking about books. How many of you in this room are my bookworms? Do I have any bookworms in the house? Oh my goodness, me too. As a mom, it's so hard to be a bookworm anymore, right? Am I right or am I right? Being a bookworm is like went way down on the priority list. So I try my hardest, and I'm kind of one of those people who read 6 books at a time. Anybody else in the room read about 6 books at a time, and you can't finish? It takes you like years to finish all of them, or even one of them, because you're like, I'm tired of this one. I'm going to do this one for a while. That's me. Any writers, any bloggers in the house? You love to type. You're a little wordsmith. Well, here's something I've learned about being a big reader or being a writer, that you have to have a really good knowledge of the English language, right? Like, it has to really be, like, in you, where to put those commas. Is it inside the quotations? Is it outside of the quotations? I don't ever know. I can never remember. I think it's a dumb rule, but whatever. But the thing about the English language is it's just so bizarre sometimes. Have you thought about that? Like, there's some really bizarre things that happen in the English language. Let me give you an example. The word bat. You have no idea what I'm talking about. I could be talking about an object that you hit a ball with. I could be talking about an animal. I could be talking about how you bat your eyelashes. I could be talking about how you bat a fly away because it's bugging you. I could be talking about how you go up to bat. It's a verb too. What? It's a verb. It's a noun. It's a mammal. I can't understand this. You guys laughed a lot more than I did in my head when I was thinking of that, so thanks. So the English language, it kind of threw me off track. English language, it's bizarre. Why do we drive on parkways and park on driveways? Yes, we recite at plays, but we play at recitals. In high school, I took Spanish 3. None of it stuck, none of it. So I took Spanish 3, and our teacher, his name was Señor Rojas, and we love Señor Rojas. His second language was English, okay, which made teaching us Spanish interesting, but we thought he was so cool. He like played classical guitar. He would bring in his guitar, and he grew out his fingernails really long so he could like, which was a little weird at first. We were like, what is this guy? But he's like, oh, I play the guitar. And we were like, oh, totally okay, totally okay. So he brought in his guitar and he would play for us. It was beautiful. And English was his second language. And he would always say that he would get the words chicken and kitchen. They were confusing to him. And we were like, oh, yeah, I can see that. But it's just the English language, right? It's bizarre. It's weird. It goes everywhere. And we do this with different words, like bat or whatever. But we do this with the word love. Okay, I'll give you an example. I love pizza. I love Annie. Love you, girl. I love flowers. I love Jesus. I love my children. I love coffee. I love whatever. You know, we kind of take this word love and we put it into these different contexts and think that that word love is just interchangeable with a lot of different things. And it is. It is. It works that way. It's cool. I'm not condemning anyone today if you go out and you say, man, I just really love coffee. Because I do. I do too. But when we say I love my husband and I love coffee in the same sentence or around the same time, it's a little confusing for people. And we do this, but we the problem is this. We think that God does the same thing. We think that God does the same thing with us. I love Becky. I love Courtney. I love Liz. I love Mindy. We think that because we have different nuances and contexts and phrasing for the word love that God does too, but that's just not true. We try to push the idea of God's great love into something as futile and as weak as the English language. We think that because we have levels of love and because we have nuances of what that word love means, that God does too, but that's not true. He doesn't. He doesn't do that. The truth is this. This is one of my favorite quotes from Debbie's book from chapter 4, and it just says this: God loves you so much, and it is his desire that you will come to believe that he does. So today, as we're talking, as we're looking through his word, as we're looking through what God's word says about his love for us and what it does for us when we accept it, that's my prayer for you, that you would come to believe that he really, really does love you. What it all comes down to is this: what do you believe God's word says about how much he loves you? Because here's the deal, it says a whole lot. I was preparing for this message and I was like, I wanted to put all of the verses, all of the scripture I wanted to put in the message, but that, I mean, you guys don't want to listen to me for, 3 hours, so I only have 20 minutes. So I was like, okay, I will pare it down. But God's word has a lot to say about how much he loves us. But what do you believe his word says? Because we can read it all day long. We can look at it with our eyes, and we can let it input into our brain, and we can process it in our mind. But it takes a particular amount of faith, girls, to believe what God's word says about you is true. And here's the deal about faith, and I'll talk about this here in a little bit, I think, but here's the deal about faith. Faith is an amazing thing, and it takes a little bit to do a lot. How many of you in this room have ever asked God for more faith? I try to make that a daily prayer, because there's so many things in this life as we walk with Jesus that require faith. It requires sometimes a tremendous amount of faith, sometimes a little bit of faith. But when it comes to God's word and he says, and what he says about you and how much he loves you, it does require faith to believe. Have you asked God for more faith to believe what his word says about you? Here's the deal. We are trying, what it really comes down to is this. What you believe God's word says about you and how much he loves you will shape everything. I know that sounds like a really, wow, that's a very big general statement, but it's true. Are you subconsciously, and I'm not like, this is not in condemnation right here, but are we subconsciously trying to force the concept of God's love into your own human definition of love? And I don't fault anybody for this. I do this too, and I have to undo it. Are you assuming that God loves just like you do? That he loves with stipulations, that he loves with according to his feelings at the moment. Oh, thank God that you don't do that. That you think that God loves you according to the circumstances that surround him, because we do that. Aren't we guilty? Aren't we guilty of producing love for others according to how they've made us feel or what they've done to us, or trying to push that love towards them, and we think God does the same to us as if he loves just like us, but he doesn't. He doesn't, girls. So what we can do, and here's the good news, because this word is all about good news, right? Here's the good news. God doesn't love like that. He doesn't love like you and me. Everybody said amen. Thank you, Jesus. So glad. And none of this of us in this room have to be English scholars or even Greek scholars for that matter to understand what the Bible is saying about the love of God. We don't have to be. Good news. Pressure's off. What we can do is look at what God's word is saying about this love and what is happening as a result of that. And then we apply that to our lives, right? That's why we read God's Bible, right? That's why we read and spend time with him every day so that that can be applied to our lives. So here's what we can see clearly in scripture about what God's love is like. Here we go. Number one, God loves you deeply. And by the way, I have 3 points. I could have had 365 points because I kept on thinking about these adjectives and adverbs and ways that God loves us, and I just couldn't really narrow it down, but I did. I narrowed it down to 3. You're welcome. So we'll do 3 today. God loves you deeply. He loves you so deeply, and you are not able, I'm telling you right now, you are not able to understand it. His love is immersive, as if you jumped into the Pacific Ocean, right smack dab in the middle, and the Pacific Ocean was God's love, and you were you, and the ocean wasn't even a drop of what his love was like for you. That's how deep it is. And the Apostle Paul, so he's this really cool guy, he wrote 2/3 of the Bible. He was an apostle. He helped build the church. He shaped a ton of theology for what the church should believe and how we look at Christ. He was a hero of the faith. He was martyred. He was persecuted. His singular prayer for the Ephesians was this. He understood that the love of God was truly beyond comprehension. He understood, and he writes this in the book of Ephesians as the focus of his prayers for that church there. And that's to know God's love. It's Ephesians 3:18-19, and it says this, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, I love this, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness and of life and power that comes from God. How many of you want to be complete in Jesus Christ? Amen. Yes. So Jesus, you just drop me down in the Pacific Ocean of your love, and you immerse me, and you give me the power to understand how deeply you love me, because I can see it. It's wide and long and high and deep, and I can't comprehend it. But it's for you. He loves you deeply. Girls, our limited minds cannot even begin to understand the depth and complexity of his love for you. The weight and the expanse of this great love is something, it is truly beyond what we can comprehend. Our minds are not capable. And that's a good thing. Because I don't want to serve a God that I can understand. And I don't want to experience a love that I get. I want to experience a love that's beyond me. I want to serve a God that it blows my mind. I want to be a part of a fellowship of believers that believes that along with me. I don't want to be able to understand his love. I don't want to be able to understand everything about God. He is God after all. And when you think about this love he has, that there's no limit, that there's no borders to his great love. Think about it. A love that is boundless. What could God do in your heart, in your life, with a boundless love, completely immersive? This is very good news, girls. This is very good news. I get to talk for the next 15 minutes about how much God loves you. I'm living a pretty awesome life right now. This is good, good news. For some of us, though, that condemnation and shame from your past or your guilt about your today, it's keeping you from something. It's keeping you, it's blocking you from understanding and accepting this full, deep, complete, immersed love. It keeps us from understanding that the depth of God's love is greater than your shame, and it's greater than your guilt, And it's greater than your past and your present and your future. Here's the crazy thing that I was thinking about. We have no problem giving God our forever. God, I give you my forever. You've saved me. I'm going to live for eternity for you. We have no problem giving God our forever, but we fail to trust him with our yesterday. And here's the thing. If he saved you to eternity, what do you think he's going to do with your yesterday? It is wiped away. Girls, right now in this room, and the way that God has shaped the service, the worship, the way that he has pointed everything to this singular, simple, but most important truth. God loves you, and it is so deep and so wide and so long and so high that you can't get it. So yes, trust him with your eternity, but trust him with your yesterday too. And I promise you, when you do, it'll change you. There is a hero. She lived back in the World War II times, and her name was Corrie Ten Boom. Have anybody, my bookworms out there, read The Hiding Place? You guys know who the Corrie Ten Boom was, read The Hiding Place. So Corrie Ten Boom, really quick history lesson. She was amazing. She helped, her and her family helped hide Jews. Literally, they hid in a wall for like hours and hours and hours, hid Jews from the Nazis. During World War II, she was caught, family was caught. She was put in a concentration camp, and in a terrible, horrible, awful story. She wrote a beautiful book called The Hiding Place, which you really, really, really need to read because it's amazing. She went through the gamut of trials, right? She was living it. And one of my favorite quotes of hers says this: "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." God loves you deeply, deeply, girls. This woman knew it. She lived circumstances that were beyond her control, were not her fault. She was trying to do a good thing, right? Like, she was doing the deal. And yet still she found herself in the most horrible hell on earth situation. And yet still she writes, "There is no pit," I think she felt like she was there, "so deep that God's love is not deeper still." And his love for you, think about how deep it is, it's deeper. Think about how wide it is, it's wider. Think about how high it is, it's higher. So have you ever been reading through the Bible and you come across this little bit of truth that you know you've read before? You know, like, you're like, "I've read this before," but for some reason, when you read it this time, it like smacks you in the face. Anybody with me? Has that happened to anybody before? Okay, thank you. I just want to be the only one in the room. So this happened to me 2 weeks ago. I was reading through 2 Samuel. Because who doesn't do that? I was reading through 2 Samuel, and there was this obscure little story about King David. King David killed Goliath, mighty king of Israel, had his ups, but he had his downs too, right? And this particular story, he was in one of, not the only, but one of the deepest, darkest places he had ever been. And I don't want to read you the whole story because it'll take too much time away from what we're doing today. But I wanted to read to you this little truth that bounced out of the page to me that I think fits so well with what we're talking about today. It's in 2 Samuel 14:14. And a wise woman had come to King David and was basically giving him counsel. And she said this: "But God does not just sweep life away. Instead, he devises ways to bring us back when we have been separated from him." I don't know about you, but that sounds like a love that is willing to go deeper than our separation could ever take us. Girls, this love, this creative God that thinks up ways, how am I going to get Natalie closer to me today? Can you just see him? Can't you just see him up in heaven? And I know this is probably not theologically correct, so don't even go anybody and tell them that I said this, okay? But I could just see him up in heaven saying, there's my Sheila. How can I get her closer to me today? He does not sweep life away. It doesn't mean nothing to him. We mean everything to him. So he devises ways. He thinks up ways. He creates ways to bring us back when we have been separated from him. That is a deep, deep love. So here's the deal. He loves you deeply. Second, he loves you completely. Whoa, I love it. Have you ever, when you're reading the Bible, apparently I have lots of thoughts and conversations with myself when I'm reading the Bible. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you're like, God, I have this question, I just need you to give me the answer. Can you just spell it out for me? I mean, I don't need some kind of obscure Old Testament story to teach me a lesson. I just need you to tell me straight on. I'm a mom, I don't have a lot of time, I just really, really need the answer. And how many of you, has he ever done that before to you? Like, yeah, it doesn't happen very often, right? Like, usually he's like, no, I'm gonna kind of make you work for it because then you'll appreciate it a little bit more. But look here at John 4:10. This is love. Oh, okay, thank you. Yes, I was wondering what love is. This is love. He spells it out. He plans it out. Black and white, this is love. No questions asked. This is directly what it is. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Here's the thing. No one can love you like God loves you. He loves you completely. He thought of everything, from beginning to end and everything in between. He had it all planned out, and his love is so true and complete. We've talked about this over the past couple of months in these chapters, about how much he loves you, right? God loves the way you look. He made you. God loves your personality and intellect. He designed you that way on purpose. God loves your story. The good parts, the bad parts, the hard parts, the fun parts. He was with you every step of the way. But then he took it a step further in this, Ephesians 2:4. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. Girls, he loved us so much that even though we were dead, we were gone. We were dead because of our sins. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Girls, his love is complete. He loves you so deeply and completely that he thought of everything. How you were born, how you were made, your step, your journey, your salvation, your eternity. He thought of it all. See, girls, he made us. He designed us. He walks with us. He saves us. He gave us brand new life. It's eternal life. He thought of everything, and he loved you so deeply that he says, I'm going to love them so deeply. I'm going to love them completely by taking care of it all from beginning to end. Psalm 139 says this, before you were born, he had it all written out. From before the beginning, he was thinking of you. While you were walking, when you were just being formed, he was thinking and loving you. When he was placing into you that unique intellect, that unique personality, he was loving you. When he was walking along with you in your trial, in your circumstance, in that dark time, he was loving and he was thinking of you. And he didn't stop there. He made a way of escape. He made a way to the cross. He made a way for eternal life. He loves you completely. Oh, he loves us so much. And that brings me to my last point. God loves you eternally. This one's so good, it got its own message point. You know, here's one that you might have heard 1,000 times. This might be the first time you've heard it. You might have seen it scrawled on a piece of cardboard at a football game or graffitied on a brick wall in the middle of a city. But don't dismiss this for a second. Not for a second. Either way, don't sell it short. This is God's word, John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Everyone. Everyone. God's love for everyone cost him his son. He thought of everything and gave us eternal life. His love for you will last forever. When you get that, your head, your heart, it should give you this holy confidence as you walk through life. I am loved. I am loved. I am loved. Girls, a profound comfort sweeps over your soul when you realize I am loved deeply, completely, eternally. It's eternal. It's forever. It's everlasting. It's an indestructible love. It's an undefeated love. Not one thing on this earth stands a chance when it comes to the love of our God. Romans 8, 31 through 39. Girls, if you could just get this in your hearts, his eternal, indestructible, undefeated love. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? Undefeated. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition, just as you are, and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare, I love this, it's so funny. Who would dare tangle with God? You're like, you're messing with the wrong poncho. Don't mess with my child. I love her. And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? That's you. You're God's chosen. Who's going to dare tangle with God on our side? How can we lose, girls? We can't lose. This is awesome. No one's going to dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen. Who would dare to even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, and he's sticking up for us. He thought of everything. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Trouble? Nope. Hard times? I've been through them. Guess what? He still loves me, and I love him so much. Sorry, hard times, you don't win. Not hatred, not hunger, homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. Undefeated love. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, somebody say nothing. Nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing, say nothing, can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. His love is eternal, everlasting, indestructible, undefeated love for you, my girl. Walk in that holy confidence and let that sweet, sweet, profound comfort wash over you right now as you stand up a little straighter and you hold your head a little taller, knowing my God is for me and there is no one who can be against me.